If someone were to pose an objection to the Christian faith, it might go something like this. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace who came to bring peace by his entry into this world, how come we don't see it? If God is so good and so powerful, why is there still evil in this world? Why didn't he stop that Las Vegas shooter from indiscriminately killing dozens and dozens of people? Why didn't he stop the slaughter of thousands of Syrian Christians who fled from their homes seeking refuge? Either this God is not powerful enough to stop it, or he just doesn't want to. So despite these objections and other things like that that we may hear, the church has the audacity to proclaim year after year after year that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, because only in Jesus will we find peace. Only in Jesus will we find the solution to the problem of evil that our whole world so desires. See, in our readings today, the people in Isaiah's time, the Jewish people, were looking for a solution to the evils that surrounded them at that time. 800 years before the birth of Christ, the people of that time were in the midst of several wars. The 12 tribes of Israel, which were once united under King David, had been fractured after the reign of King Solomon. And now the 10 tribes of the north were fighting against the 2 tribes of the south. In 722 BC, Assyria had come in and destroyed the northern tribes of Israel and exiled them, scattering them all over the continent. Imagine if we were attacked by the U.S. and they took all the people from the provinces of Canada, exiled them out of Canada, and then scattered them all over North America. That's what happened to the nation of Israel at that time. So amidst this war and destruction and chaos, not unlike our time, the people of God were looking for a word of hope. And so the prophet Isaiah would boldly proclaim, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. A new king shall come from the line of David, the son of Jesse, who will bring peace to the whole world. And this peace will be so great that all of creation will be transformed, where the wolf will lie down with the lamb. And dare I say, the hunter will lie down with the deer. And no one shall hurt on God's holy mountain, because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord." And so we see in the gospel today the beginnings of this peace, the dawning of this peace, when the disciples come back rejoicing because even the demons submit to them. And Jesus too also rejoices. He rejoices that the kingdom of evil is being overcome by the kingdom of God. And he says, "Blessed are your eyes which see what you see. For many prophets and kings longed to see what you see, but did not see it." Many prophets and kings longed to see the fulfillment of what Isaiah had prophesied. And Jesus would come to reveal the peace that we all long for, the definitive victory over sin and death on that hill of Calvary. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the solution to the problem of evil. It is the answer of peace that many nations and sages have been longing for. Because when the author of life was put to death, he went down into the depths of hell to take away the keys of death from Satan, who had bound all of humanity in his captivity. And by his resurrection, he burst open the gates of hell. And he made a way where there was once no way, a gateway from death to life. And so suffering and death are no longer prisons of despair and darkness. By Jesus' death and resurrection, it has now become a pathway to eternal life. What was once a poison has now become the antidote for eternal life. And so St. Augustine will marvelously say, "Since God is the highest good, he would not allow any evil to exist in his works, unless his omnipotence and goodness were such as to bring good even out of evil." And so when we look at the cross, we see the goodness of God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And by his resurrection, he reveals his power, where he was able to bring life even in death. In allowing the evil of death, God was able to transform it and bring about the greater good of eternal life for all those who die and rise with Jesus in baptism. And so as Christians, we have this boldness, and we can look at death in the face and triumphantly say with St. Paul, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we understand the power of the cross, we have a boldness that neither suffering nor death can destroy. And so we hear this from St. Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John, and he lived around the early 2nd century. And when he was captured, he was ordered to renounce his faith, or he'd be burned at the pillar. And this is, listen to the dialogue that kind of followed. "Hear me declare with boldness, I am a Christian," says Polycarp. The proconsul then said to Polycarp, "I have wild beasts at hand. To these I will cast you, unless you repent." But he answered, "Call them then, for we are not accustomed to repent of what is good in order to adopt that which is evil. But why do you delay? Bring forth what you will." There will come a day when all suffering and death will end, where justice shall flourish, where every tear shall be wiped away, when Jesus comes again in glory. And that is what the season of Advent is preparing us for. It's preparing us for that hope which we're looking for. But even now, we participate in that foretaste of the kingdom. We participate in the peace of that kingdom now, where neither death nor suffering can destroy, as we await the glorious coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.